We seek his aid, we seek his help, and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to err, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, first of all, I'd like to apologize for my absence yesterday. I'm in Iqtikaf, and the computer in the masjid, we had difficulties keeping a connection, so I wasn't able to attend. So please forgive me for that. Insha'Allah ta'ala, this is the third in the series of lectures that Sister Layla has described as Islamic issues. This particular talk, again, is based on a paper by Brother Muhammad al-Sharif. So insha'Allah, without further delay, I'd like to start. At the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a powerful and influential tribal leader by the name of Musarima. And for those who know history, I challenge you to tell me who his father was. Ask anyone in the world and they will say, the translation of his name is Beliar. Even if we were to search out his descendants in the present day, and ask them, who was your ancestors, Musarima's father? And they will say, the liar. Why? Musarima had all the earthly ingredients to launch a new religion. He had an exquisite knowledge of the language, a magical public speaker, wealth beyond imagination, and his tribal army, indeed, they were crazy about him, ready to die for his safety. He took all these ingredients and proclaimed to all that he was a prophet of Allah, just like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He missed one ingredient, and because of this, his ship sank. The ingredient that he was missing was the ingredient of truthfulness. That is why today, over 1400 years later, there is not a single human soul on the earth who thinks that Musaymah was the prophet of Allah, because Allah did not give him this authority to make this claim. On the other hand, not a single second ticks by in a 24-hour day or in a 7-day week, except that there is a Muslim caller to prayer somewhere in the world, in the millions of masjids announcing, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is so because human beings did not give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this authority, nor did Muhammad himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaim this to himself. As the Emperor of Rome, Heraclius, asked about the Muslim messenger in the year 679 after he had presented Islam to him, he asked, which king gave Muhammad this authority? And that reply was so simple, so profound. The reply to this statement was, Allah did. Allah gave him this authority. Brother Muhammad al-Sharif states in his paper, he says, I grew up in central Canada, in a city called Winnipeg, a city synonymous with the term cold. Local folk called it Winterpeg. It is so cold that people in Canada say, man, you're from Winnipeg. Isn't it cold there? And he further says, I went to grade school in Winnipeg in the early 1980s. My family and I lived in an environment where we would be gibbered and insulted at the mall and by passing cars. Not in common with random shouts or shouts where the people would say, hey, ninja lady, or look what came out of the desert. At that time, he says, they were the only people of color in his school. And he remembers once telling a friend to guess what was the most popular name in the world. And he says when he told his friend that the most popular name was Muhammad, he was called a liar. And he said, you're the only person, the person told him he was the only person in the school with this name. So indeed the name John or Tom must be the most important name. Brother Muhammad says, I don't blame him. A lot of people in North America have not traveled and experienced the treasures of culture and flavor that the nations of the world have to offer humanity. Reverend Billy Graham, prior to September 11th, once said something that was very profound. He said, I traveled the world and came to the realization that perhaps America does not have in its palm all the truths of the world. For this statement, Billy Graham deserves a standing ovation. The modesty to announce that to millions of viewers, but although America may not have all the truths, it is blessed with a nation of truth seekers, for it is never ashamed to be mistaken. Our shame lies in, after truth has come, to persist in one's mistake. Indeed, Islam is the fastest growing religion in America, rather in the whole world. In the past 50 years, Muslims have increased by over 233%, and across the earth, from every nation, the Muslims now we now number over 1 billion. And the key to Islam is the statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The statement, it takes only a few seconds to pronounce, but it is the transformation point of the lives of billions of Muslims around the world, that only the Creator deserves to be worshipped. Let us look, or let us take an example from the lives of such people whose lives change with this call to worship only one God, Allah Azza wa Jal. Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, was an Abyssinian slave in Mecca in the year 623. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with his message that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, Bilal radiyallahu anhu denounced the 360 statues and idols that the tribes of Mecca were worshipping, and he began to believe in the oneness of Allah. And this enraged his slave master Umayyah, and he would take Bilal out into the sizzling noon heat of the desert because simply of his belief in one God. And he would try to burn away the skin from Bilal's back with the hot desert sand. And to intensify this pain, Umayyah would bring a boulder and place it on his stomach to press him down in the grilling sand, again burning the skin away. And through this intense torture, all Bilal would say is, Ahad, Ahad, he is only one God. And this infuriated Umayyah even more, which would in turn make him intensify his torture. Bilal, he was freed by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And Bilal became the first muazzin, the first caller of prayer for this beautiful deen of al-Islam. And another example is that of the Muslim woman Sumayyah radiyallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with her. She was also a slave. And because her and her family had accepted Islam and that no one was worthy of worship except Allah, her and her husband and her son, they were all subject to physical pains and tortures. Her torturer was Abu Jahl. And he became furious one day as her soft voice kept repeating, La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And in this fit of rage, he took a spear and he stabbed her through her private parts, making her the first martyr in al-Islam, simply because she believed in one God. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. And although it was permissible for the Muslims to lie to save themselves from this torture, you'll see example after example of Muslims who would rather die than surrender their right to believe that Allah is the only one that has a right to be worshipped. Amongst the tyrants of Mecca was a man by the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was so vicious with the Muslims that sometimes he would simply volunteer just to get a chance to torture the Muslims. One day, he had had enough of the people leaving their tribal religions, the religion of their ancestors and forefathers. So he took his sword and he set out for the home of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of slitting his throat. On the way, a Muslim who had been hiding his Islam, Nu'am ibn Abdullah, and he asked Umar, where was he in a hurry to get off to? And Umar said, I'm off to Muhammad, that convert who cut up our tribe, belittled our gods, and mocked our religion, to kill him. Nu'am became afraid for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he quickly thought and he said to Umar, why don't you start with your family first? Your sister and her husband have accepted Islam. Umar became enraged and changed direction for his sister's home. As he reached the home of his sister, Khabbab ibn al-Arat was at their home teaching them the words of Allah from the book of Allah, the Quran. And for a few moments, Umar sat at the door and he listened to the sounds of the Quran. Then he shouted for his sister to open the door. And Khabbab, in a state of fear, hid in an adjacent room. And Umar's sister Fatima, she hid the scroll of the Quran that they had been studying from. And Umar entered the room and he walked up to his brother-in-law. And he said to his brother-in-law, I heard you both have accepted Muhammad and are following him. And then Umar, without warning, began to pound his brother-in-law, to beat him fiercely. And Fatima, his sister, stood up to protect her husband from the wrath of her brother. And when she came in the way, Umar slapped her across the face with all of his might. His sister fell to the ground, her cheeks split, and her blood spilt all over her clothing. And she looked up at her brother and said from behind her tears, yes, Umar, we are Muslims, and yes, we believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe you don't have all the truth like you think you do. And Umar, all of a sudden, he became ashamed of the sight of his sister and the bleeding that he had caused. So he asked his sister, what was that sound that I heard? What was that that you were reciting? And his sister replied, I fear for that scroll to fall in your hands. But Umar, he swore by the idols that he worshipped that he would do them no harm. So she handed him the scroll after she requested that he cleanse himself. And then he began to recite from Surah Taha in translation, we did not send down to you the Quran that you be distressed, but only as a reminder for those who fear Allah, a revelation from He who created the earth and the highest heavens, Allah the Merciful, who is above the throne established. To Him belongs what is in the heaven and what is on the earth, and what is between them and what is under the soil. And if you speak aloud, then indeed He knows the secret and what is even more hidden, Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him. To Him belong the best names. Umar, later that day, he continued on his journey towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he arrived in front of the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the coat of armor of Umar and said, he grabbed him by his neck, or by the cloth around his neck, and he said, Umar, hasn't the time come for you to become Muslim? And Umar, who only a few short moments earlier was on a mission to kill Prophet Muhammad, He said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've only come for that reason. And then he said, there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar. And from this statement of the Prophet, the people were excited because they knew that Umar had become a Muslim. Brother Muhammad al-Sharif continues in his paper, he says, he's been in large crowds in his life, both in the West and in the Middle East. In Winnipeg, the biggest crowds I experienced were at the hockey games. Like I said before, Winnipeg has a lot of ice. So maybe 20,000 people from Winnipeg would gather at night for the hockey games. In Mecca, at the Grand Mosque, I have been in a crowd of 3 million worshippers in one prayer. And these people were not from one nation, nor from one language or one background. And they didn't gather to see a sporting event. They only gathered because they believed in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as you'll see today, when we line up for the prayer, in Mecca, 3 million people line up in perfect circles around this grand masjid, around the Kaaba, to worship Allah. He said that he once stood in the window of a hotel across from the Haram and watched down below the swarming crowd of 3 million people. Then when the call to prayer began, the entire crowd stood in perfect circles in less than 50 seconds. Who gathered these hearts together? Only Allah Azza wa Jalla. A consistent crowd of 3 million from every nation, class, and color did not come without pain and struggle to assert humanity's right to worship nothing but the one true God, Allah Azza wa Jal. There were times in the very same valley of Mecca when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prostrate to only Allah, avoiding all the false idols that surrounded him. The polytheists of Mecca, they sat down and they would look at him and they would be angry. So they conspired amongst themselves. They said, how can you sit here and allow Muhammad to prostrate to Allah in your midst? Who amongst you is willing to humiliate him? So Utbah, one of the polytheists, he said, I shall. So he went out and he took the intestines and the internal organs of a freshly killed lamb that had been sacrificed to the idols. And while Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sajda to Allah azza wa jal, Utbah dumped these entrails over the head of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the people around him exploded into laughter at this sight of the Prophet in this condition, he didn't even flinch. He continued in his sajda. He continued in his worship of Allah azza wa jal. The news of this event, it reached the daughter of Muhammad, Fatima, who at that time she was still a young girl. And she was very upset that her father was being ridiculed at the Kaaba. So she raced there. And when she saw her father, she cried and removed the filth and swore through her tears at the polytheists. This is just an example, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, of the ridicule that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims went through to teach humanity that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. The mushrikeen, the polytheists of Mecca, they used their media, their poetry, and their words of mouth to sway the public opinion against this call that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And today we see this same thing happening. The media and the government officials and all these entities and the preachers, they're doing what they can to try to devalue this call of La ilaha illallah. But the more they try to fight it and the more they try to talk against it, the more people come to the oneness of Allah, subhanAllah. A doctor by the name of Damud from the tribe of Az made pilgrimage to Mecca. And when he arrived in the Holy Valley, the news media of Mecca, the word of mouth, it flashed, warning him not to listen to a word that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. They called him a magician and a madman. So Damir recalls, they frightened me so much that I considered putting cotton in my ears. But then I said to myself, I am a doctor and have healed madmen before. Perhaps I may be able to cure Muhammad. So after completing his tawaf, his circle around the Kaaba, he saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting peacefully in the courtyard of the Kaaba. He approached the blessed prophet and said to him softly, Muhammad, I administer treatment for this illness, and God has allowed me to heal many people. Would you wish that I nurse you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned and said, Verily, all praise is due to Allah. We thank Allah, and we seek His protection from everything. Whoever Allah guides, no one can mislead them. And whoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide them to the right. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that I, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, am the messenger of Allah. Damur's mouth, it gaped open, and he swallowed and he said, Could you repeat that for me? And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to repeat it. Then Damur, after hearing this, he smiled and he said, By Allah, I have heard the words of soothsayers, and I've heard the words of magicians, and heard the words even of the poets, and I have never heard words like this. Give me your hand, for I am going to pledge allegiance to al-Islam. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. You'll find in the Quran, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, verse after verse, opening the eyes of humanity to the reality that indeed there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that He is only one. Jubair ibn Mut'am stood quietly behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at sunset prayer. And he was listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he recited the Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting chapter 2, chapter 52. And he heard him recite, Or were they created by nothing? Or were they the creators of themselves? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they are not certain. Or have they in their hands the treasures of humanity's provision of your Lord? Or do they control it? Jubair, he said, When I heard these verses, it was as if my heart had wings flying swiftly and in bliss to the truth, and that I had found in Islam. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, where will you be in 100 years? You'll be dead. And where were you 100 years ago? You were nothing. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, Has there not come upon man a period of time when he was not a thing even mentioned? Indeed, we created man from a sperm drop that we may test him, and we made him hearing and seeing. Indeed, we guide him to the way to be thankful or to be ungrateful. In the early days of al-Islam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go from tent to tent, tribe to tribe, announcing to them, Say, there is no God but Allah, and success will be yours. Today, over 1400 years later, as the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as believers in Allah azza wa jal, we extend these words of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of our guests today. Say, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and success will be yours. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fiik, jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.